All right, welcome Softball Nation to the Extra Inning Softball Podcast. This is our fourth episode. It's a bonus edition. And today, our guest from California Breeze Fernald is Deanna Johnson. She's one of the top prospects in the nation, outstanding player, can kind of do a little bit of everything. And Deanna, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Right on. So, wow, you know, I sent out a Q&A to you and got back some really cool answers. And so I really thought it would be good to bring you on the podcast and talk about, you know, yourself and your teammates had incredible things to say about you, too, by the way.
Yeah, I saw them. They sent them to me before. Yeah.
So it seems like you got a really tight-knit team over there at the California Breeze with Coach Fernald. Give me your thoughts on that team.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, give me your thoughts on your team. And, you know, this past summer, you guys did so well at PGF Nationals. Talk about your
team. Yeah. Well, we have a great coaching staff. Like, they taught us all the fundamentals since the start and, like, made sure that we weren't just getting the outfits up, that we were doing them correctly, too. And we put in a lot of work, like lots of practicing, a lot of conditioning and stuff before, because our main goal the whole season was to get to PGS and get top 10 or even top 5, and that's what we didn't. And everybody worked together. You know, everyone had to step up. There are a couple people that got hurt the week before and then during the season, so we had to have people step up and come to other positions, and I think it all paid off pretty well in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see you guys a few times, and you guys had some big wins out there.
Lot of them were, like, nail-biters.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that. It seemed like, you know, in a pressure-packed situation, you guys were able to handle it.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've been working on, because a lot of the times when we would, like, go down to SoCal, we would go to, like, international tiebreaker, and then I don't think that we had, like, so full mental toughness to, you know, like, come through and have everyone step up and win. But we were working on that a lot. Like, we had to, like, shift our mindsets a little bit instead of saying, like, oh, it's getting down to the end, I have to get a big hit to help my team. Instead, we were thinking, like, oh, maybe drop the ball down right here so that we can move runners. So I think it's just, like, a shift in the mindset that we had, because we're older and we matured more, and it helped us get a lot of wins.
And how many years has the core group been together, you know, with the Cal Breeze? You know, how long have you been playing with these girls?
I think, like, the core group, like, 4 or 5 years. We probably had, like, 7 new players ever since then, but the core group has been, like, 5 years, since, like, July 2015 or 2014.
Yeah. So you know these girls pretty well. I mean, you've been around them a lot, right?
Yeah, we hang a lot, too, outside of the just games and stuff, so I know them pretty well.
And so now you're a 2022 grad.
Yeah.
And you got in before the new change to the recruiting rules and were able to commit to Oregon, you know, the place that you really fell in love with. Like, tell me about that, how that went down.
Just how the committing to Oregon went down, or, like, the whole recruiting process?
Well, I guess the whole recruiting process, and that you were able to you know, get committed before, you know, the rule changes.
Yeah. The first, like, big tournament we went to was in, like, Elsinore, and I got a couple calls. Like, one of my first calls was with Washington, and then I went to go visit Ole Miss, but Oregon was, like, one of the first schools I went to visit, and I just knew as soon as I got there, like, I loved it. I loved the coaches, and the coaches switched, but, like, I still love these coaches now. And I went around, like, they gave us a little tour, and we were, like, sitting in the field, and I loved the way the field looked, and I loved, like, the players, because when we went to the camp, we got to, like, the players from the team were the coaches, and it was just so fun to, like, mingle with all of them and just get to know them more, and I just knew that was the place I wanted to go when I got there.
So when you first went to Oregon, had they already put in the new facility, or what, you know, what were you looking at when you first went up there?
When I first went there, they had the new Jane. I mean, it looked pretty new, I think. I don't know necessarily if it was the new one, but I know that they were like building the bleachers in the back. Like, you know, they have the gym and then the back bleachers are the vault ones. That's when I first, oh no, maybe that was the second time. But when I first went there, it was just the gym, and then they had the like indoor facility kind of, but they weren't building it. Like, it was already built when I got there.
Right on. And so now, you know, you had that part out of the way, but what caught my eye when I was looking over your Q&A is when you talked about, you know, the things that you've learned about yourself in, you know, in recent years, and, you know, how it's, you know, how you've had to really change, you know, and mature, and, you know, when you went to a new school and that kind of stuff. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think a lot of teenagers would relate to that, because, you know, it's not all, it never comes easy to all of us. You know, a lot of us have to really work at things, you know?
Yeah. Well, my freshman year, because I switched schools a lot kind of, but it was always to a school where I knew a lot of people. And this was, I transferred and I didn't like know too many, and it's high school already. So like, that's already even bigger of a jump. And it was just, I just felt like really out of place there. And I felt like I didn't really have too many friends, so I was just always like to myself, and I felt really isolated, and like I kind of got, I don't want to say like depressed, because I don't want to like use that word if I didn't really like have to get help for it or anything for it, but it was just, I had to learn how to like, it's okay to be by myself. So towards the end of the year, like, I just saw that there wasn't any fit for me, and I just started to kind of like hanging out by myself. And I guess it's easier for me because I'm an only child, so like, it wasn't really that big of a jump, but it was still hard to see like everyone else with friend groups and stuff, and then just me by myself. But I kind of just got used to it, and it didn't really bother me at the end of the year as much.
What was the thing that, you know, helped you you know, make the transition? Because, you know, on the field, when we see you play out there, you're so just fearless and ferocious, you know, and you'd never know that you had, you know, a little bit of insecurities being a, you know, a young teenager, but that's what people go through, right?
Yeah, it is. I think it's easier for me on the field. I don't know. I just feel more comfortable there. And in high school, I was a little bit more uncomfortable, but maybe it might have something to do with like high school softball at the end of the year. So it got me a little bit more comfortable, I guess. So I think I guess it was like fine for me to be by myself after. That's when I started like being okay with being with hanging out by myself, is like after softball started, if that makes sense. I don't know if that really makes sense, but that's kind of when it all turned.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, once you had a chance to really, you know, be yourself out there and shine on the field, it kind of just translated to everything, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty cool. And I'm sure the girls at Sheldon love having you on the team, right?
Yeah, it's fun. We have like a little room that just for the softball girls. So we've been, me and the transfers have like been going there at lunch and just hanging out with them, just to like build our bond before the season starts.
And I know in the past, I remember Jolene Henderson went there, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not for sure, but
yeah, she definitely went to Sheldon, and I think they had like a field on her property or something like that. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. Well, probably we may use it. Hopefully, I would love to use her field.
Yeah, you should check about that. Ask like, you know, say, hey, Jolene, hook us up. Let's use your field.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
And let's see, there was another thing that I thought was really cool. You say you have a secret talent. Tell me about this.
Yeah. I have a piano in my house, and if I can like hear a song, I can just like learn how to play the piano. I don't know, like I just hear the keys and I can like put them together and learn how to play the song on the piano. It may take me a little while to like hear the song and figure it out, but after probably like 3 or 4 times of hearing it, I can learn how to play it.
That's,
I might not remember after, but in the time being, I can learn how to play that song, like just from hearing it.
So what's some of your favorite songs that you could do on the piano? Are they all classic? Or are they, you know, hip hop and you hook them up on piano?
It just intense. I learned how to play for a lease by myself on the piano. That was a tricky one. And then I learned how to play, like pop songs. I don't know if I like a song on the radio, and I'm like, oh, I probably could play it on the piano. Like, if it has piano on the back, I'll just try and listen to it and learn how to make it and learn how to play.
So that's going to be pretty fun. And
yeah, then, or if my mom asks me to like learn one, I can learn how to play it.
Let's see. And here's another thing I thought was pretty cool. You know, sometimes when I ask people about their teammates, you know, you can tell that when somebody really stands out to you, you know, you have a lot to say. And you were telling me about your teammate, Layla Towner. Can you talk about her? She's your third baseman for the Cal Breeze, right?
Yeah, she is. I've been playing with her ever since like 10U probably, and ever like she's just one of the most like fundamentally sound players that I've ever seen. Like some plays, I think it's because like it shocks you because like of how short she is, but like she can jump so high to get to a ball like that most average people can't get to, or not average, but like most average high people can't get to, and she's just always like. Her mentality of the game, like she's never just in it for herself. She's always trying to do it for the greater good of like everyone. And she never really gets down on herself too much. I mean, everyone has like those times, but for the majority of the time, she's never gets down on herself. And yeah, I just love playing with her. Like she makes the game a lot more fun on the field.
Very cool. And you know, when I asked, you know, your teammates and coaches to tell me about you and, you know, what you do on the field, what you bring to the team and that kind of thing. And I think it was Ryan Fernald was saying that you've become like a more vocal leader as you've gotten older. And, you know,
yeah,
you know, tell me about that. When did you finally feel like, you know, because you were always a leader by example, but now you're becoming that too.
Mm-hmm. I think it just, again, like probably had to do with the comfortability of it. Cause now when I was like younger, I like had people telling me that I was like a leader, but I didn't really believe. And I think it just took some time for me to be like, okay, yeah, I see that I like help out my team. So I need to do it both on the field and vocally, like whether it be I'm playing during that time or maybe I'm sitting and I still need to cheer my team on regardless because I'm like one of the people on my team that has the ability to like turn the game around if I say something right or if I do something to step up on the field. And I think that's when like it all changed.
Very cool. And I think Coach Fernald also said you're a six tool player, and I was like, whoa, I thought there was five tools.
I know, I was glad. I don't know what the sixth tool is either. I know there's five, but I don't know about the sixth one.
Well, he gave you an extra six tools, so you must have it. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Tell me about Coach, too. I mean, you were saying how you've really learned the fundamentals through that, you know, being a part of the Cal Breeze program. And what's he like as a coach?
Yeah, I think he's not just like a coach. Like, he's also like a parental figure to me because he doesn't just worry about, like, in softball, I can help with school if you have like problems outside of school. He's always there to just like lift you up. Like sometimes it is tough love, but majority of the time he just like always, you can always ask him anything and he's always going to be like there to help you. He always tells me like he loves me like family, and that's the same thing for him too. And I think our bond is just like really tight. I know like we know my strengths and my weaknesses together, and we can like laugh and joke about them. And at the same time, he also like basically taught me how to do, like he got me basically to where I am today, I would say. Other coaches helped me, but I think like just how fundamentally sound and everything, I think he played a big part in that along with the other coaches on our team.
Right on. And let's see, the other something I wanted to touch on too is, you know, I always like finding out what coaches say they like most about you, and what are some of the things that you've heard, you know, from coaches in the past and, you know, maybe even players that they really like about your game?
I would say probably my athleticism, like because of my height and my speed, I can cover a lot of ground, and my reflexes to the ball, like to get the ball like from where it is and how to, and be able to snap back and like get the, outs, and I would definitely say my hitting is a big part of it, like my power hitting and consistency. And I think recently it's been my vocal part, because I know when I was younger I wasn't as vocal, but in like 14th and 16th I would also say that it's like being a leader on the field and saying that they can like always hear me out there when I'm on the field and cheering my teammates on.
And this past summer you guys competed in 14s, right?
Yeah, so now we're into 16s. That was our last year, 14s.
Okay, so 16s, and I'm sure you guys have played up, because, you know, in the past, I mean, what are you expecting out of 16s this year? Is there something that, you know, you think you got to – what are areas that you're going to be looking to improve your game and, you know, help your team in?
I think definitely the pitching is going to be a lot better. There's definitely going to be, like, more spin on the ball and more movement. So I need to work probably not just – I need to work on how to – adjust my timing to depending on where the pitch is thrown. And I know they're not gonna, they did this in 14 too, but I know like if they're ahead in the count, or even if they're even in the count, like they're not gonna throw me a pitch to hit. And also because of like where I hit in the lineup, they're not just gonna try and like throw me a pitch to hit. Every pitch that I get is probably gonna be something to chase, so I'm definitely gonna have to work on my discipline in the box and just working on getting like base hits instead of trying to always have like that power mindset, always trying to get just helping my team out instead of trying to like drive in a home run or something like that. That's my biggest thing.
Now I guess I could say that you guys were able to fly a little under the radar this past summer, but I'm sure that won't be the case after your guys' performance at PGF.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to change. And so I'm wondering, what do you think about that and approaching, you know, games now where people are going to know about you, especially yourself, you know, they're going to know about you too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel into that?
We've always been known around NorCal, I would say, but I think it's going to be more widespread now. So I would just say like our biggest goal would not be to get too big headed. Like just because everybody knows who you are, that doesn't mean, or just because everyone knows how you are, like, that gives them more motive to try and beat you. So I would say, like, don't go into the game being, like, cocky, like, oh, yeah, we got 7th in PGF. We're definitely – and my team, I don't think that they would do that, but just in case, like, you know, don't get too big-headed and just stay humble, because we know the talent that we have and we know that we'll execute it in every game. So don't let the 7th PGF, like, get to our heads too much.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's definitely going to be different, you know, like, when you play – mm-hmm. You know, national teams, right? I mean, they're going to know you guys from last year. Do you like that? You know, where you're coming in, you know, people are going to be really gunning for you, and you guys have to be at your best, right?
Yeah, I think it makes the game more fun. It makes it more competitive, because now you know, like, they're gunning for your head, so we got to do the same thing to them too.
Right on. And then let's hit on a couple of these little quick questions. You know, we talked about we didn't talk about this. What's the best advice you've ever been given? You had a pretty interesting answer on that.
Yeah, definitely. It would be from my dad. He told me one time that pressure is for people who don't prepare. And that just really, kind of hit home to me, because I would always get so nervous before, like, any game that I played, and I still do, but it's definitely not as much. And I just think back to, like, I know how much work I put into this sport, and, like, I know how much I practice for it and all of that, and it all will pay off in the end, because I shouldn't be nervous, because I know that I put in all the work for it.
Yeah, and I think you said your dad told you pressure is for people who don't prepare.
Yeah.
And so you definitely got that one covered, right, because you put in a lot of work, like you said.
Yeah, for sure.
And then here's one too. I, you know, like when I ask people, what's your spirit animal? You know, and I've heard all kinds of things, you know, like a lion, a bear, a cheetah, whatever. And you had an interesting one. Tell me about your inner spirit animal.
Well, this one, I didn't know exactly. So I did a project like this in like ceramics class, and I had to take a test for it, like take a spirit animal quiz test. So I basically just, like, put all my answers in, and I took a test, and that's the animal it gave me. And then I, like, did some more research on the animal, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely an animal I can really do.
And tell the people what that animal is.
It's a deer. It's a deer. And also, like, I'm pretty sure Bambi's a deer, right? Yeah. Bambi a deer. And when I was in like 12, my teammates used to always call me Bambi because I was like so clumsy. And I was, that just really said it. That was another reason why I picked that animal too.
So it's just kind of always been there. Now you've grown up
yeah.
into a graceful athlete there.
Yep. Took a lot of coordination to get there.
And then how about your favorite pro athlete? Who's somebody that you like draw, you know, a lot of inspiration from?
I'd say one of, well, can it be like college?
Yeah, it could be anything.
Could it be
yeah,
college?
Whatever.
Okay, I would say right now it's probably Rachel Garcia because she is like, she's just a beast. Like literally every time she gets up to bat, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's going to hit a home run or she's going to do something to help her team. And she's going to, and when she's pitching, I know that she's going to like dominate in the round. And I love the presence that she brings. Like her energy literally radiates to the whole team. Like even if they're down, like she'll still be up in the circle and she'll still have a lot of energy. And that's just something that I used to pitch. But I don't pitch anymore, but I used to pitch, and that was one of the things that I, like, always tried to achieve was to have, just, like, make my energy stay with the rest of the team, and I think she does a really good job at that.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. I saw her in high school, and it was her last high school game when they were in the finals, the CIF, and she was unhittable, and then she tore her ACL, like, in the ninth or tenth inning. It was just gut-wrenching. Yeah, it was gut-wrenching. She was so amazing. But she battled her way back, and look what she's done at UCLA.
You couldn't tell. You literally, from how she plays at college, you can never tell that she, like, ever did anything like that.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. Good. That's a good one to draw inspiration from. And let's see, your favorite movie. I'm right with you here on this one. I mean –
I was hoping so. I love Marvel movies so much. Like, I can watch those all day. I could just sit and watch all of them. Like, those are my favorite type of movies to watch.
And that you said Infinity War was your favorite. Oh, my God. I was dying at the end of that one. The snap.
I know. I watched it when it first came out. So I literally had to wait, like, a whole year. And I was like, oh, my gosh, they're all gone. They're never going to come back. Like, Thanos really snapped them out. They're going to be gone. They're not going to come back. And then I started reading, like, I would go on YouTube and I would watch, like, 73 things that you missed in Infinity War. And then it would kind of, like, give me insight on the next one. And I was like, oh, okay, they're definitely going to come back. They're definitely going to come back.
Hopefully they're going to come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was definitely a good one. So you get into all the superhero movies. What's some other ones you like?
Other Marvel movies? Or
others.
Yeah. I love Captain America, The Winter Soldier. That is one of my favorite ones. I love Black Panther. That is a really good one, too. And I like Spider-Man Homecoming, but I haven't seen Far From Home yet. Like, I've been trying to go to theaters, but it's probably out of theaters now. But I feel like I would like that one. And then I also like Thor Ragnarok. That's a good one, too.
That one's hilarious.
And,
yeah, very good.
Yeah, and Endgame was a really good one, too. I went to go see it twice in the movies, and I cried both times I saw it.
So what do you think about Spider-Man not being in there anymore?
I know. It sucks. It literally sucks. It's not going to be the same.
Oh.
At all. And does that mean he's not going to be on, like, the Disney streaming service now? Because now he's Sony, and Disney doesn't own Sony, I don't think. Or do they?
No, they don't. He's not going to be on anything
with
Marvel. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's not very good. That's not very good.
Finally, I got somebody in the softball world that I can talk Marvel movies about.
Yeah, anytime. I love Marvel.
Right on. So we obviously know that you have good taste.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a good favorite actress, too. Tell me about, you know, who your favorite actress is.
It's Amanda Stenberg. I don't even know if I said her name. But she was in The Hunger Games. That's the first movie I saw of her. And she was Rue and, like, I don't even cry at movies, but I think that was, like, one of the first movies that I ever cried at, because to see her that young and, like, knowing how to cry on cue is just so crazy to me. And, like, she's in a movie called The Hate U Give, and that movie is so good. Like, she took that role, and she really ran with it. Like, she did so good in that movie, and every time I watch that movie, I cry. It's so good.
Yeah, I think you're right. I get poked in the eyes whenever I see her movies, too.
Yeah.
She's really
And she's
good.
Really pretty, too.
Yep.
She's
yep.
so pretty.
And then your favorite show is another good one. Talk about this.
Stranger, Oh my gosh, you love Stranger Things?
I love it. Yeah, it's
I
the best.
Love Stranger Things. I kid you not, when the second season came out, I started crying as soon as it came on. I know, I'm not really a crier, but I love that show. Like, I have seen the second season probably like 3 or 4 times, and I love all the characters in it and all of them in real life too. Like, I'm really obsessed with that show.
And you said you binged it all in one day when season 3 came out?
Mm-hmm. I was up to like probably like 3 or 4 in the morning watching it, but it was really worth it. No, I was up till 7 in the morning watching season 3, but season 2 I was up to like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I pretty much shut down everything I'm doing too. That's it. It's Stranger Things time.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful show.
And then you also had a really good motto that you try to live by. Can you tell the people about that?
Yeah, my motto is just basically just like, why it be the reason that someone smiles, because there's like already so much like hate and like just arguing and all this stuff and violence in the world. And I just think that like, why try and like make someone mad or just not open up to them, not smile at them, and potentially like have them grow up to be someone that creates more violence, and you could just like open your arms to someone and be kind to them, and then maybe that'll like change your life around. Maybe they're having a bad day and you don't know, and then you just smile at them and that like changes their whole day.
That's a good way to live life. Definitely a you're very smart that way.
Thank you.
Right on. Well, Deanna, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us over here at Extra Inning Softball, and want to wish you luck and looking forward to see you in action in the 16s this year. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited. Our season starts probably in like 2 or 3 weeks, so we've been practicing a lot.
Outstanding. Well, good luck out there, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
All right. Take it easy, Deanna.
Okay, you too.
All right. So, okay, wow, bye. That was really cool to get a chance to go more in-depth on Deanna Johnson and what she's all about and what she brings to the table. And when you check out this podcast on extrainningsoftball.com on Friday, I believe it will be going up. It will be posted. You can also see the Q&A we did with her and all the things that her coaches and teammates, you know, said about her. And, you know, like I said, Cal Breeze is going to be a team to watch. They were fantastic at PGF Nationals this past summer, and they're going to be making noise all over the place in the fall and the spring. And then next summer, I'm sure they're going to be in the mix. So that's it for us. That's the end of our bonus edition of the Extra Inning Softball Podcast. That's our 4th episode so far, and we're going to have many more throughout the year. I'm Carlos Arias, and you can follow me on Twitter at @Los_stuff. @Los_stuff. And you can follow Extra Inning Softball at @ExtraInningSB on Twitter. So everybody, Softball Nation, really appreciate you checking us out. Good night. God bless. We'll see you soon on the softball field.